have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
By the grace wouldn't be here today, but look at me, look at me.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Thank the Lord for another time and another day to be here. I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian Blessingame, for his glory. We thank God for allowing us to be here. We thank our marvelous host, Dr. Kimmy Kim, for Elation Radio. And we thank the God, and I thank all you listeners who's out there listening to me tonight. We just give God praise and the glory for this platform. We've been away for a while, but we're back, and we're just thankful for what God is doing and what God is saying and what God is showing. There's certain things that grab my attention, and a lot of times I try to not get involved with certain things. It seems like the more I fight it, the more God brings it back to my attention. So he's laid a few things on my heart to share with the people tonight, because surely we're living in the last days. I see a lot of deception and stuff going on far and abroad, and we just, as people of God, men of God, women of God, people of the fivefold, prophets especially, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, and all that, we're called to be on the wall, and we're called to sound the alarm. So, yeah, I would just say that this is part of sounding the alarm. I've seen some stuff and it caused me. I heard some things too that caused me to see the need to sound the alarm. So before we go into the word tonight, we'll start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, for our host, our producer, our awesome Kimmy Kim, Dr. Kimmy Kim, the Elation Radio. And we thank you for the listeners who may listen to this. We pray, Lord God, that you give us an open heart to receive what thus is saying and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying into our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits. We bind up every activity that is not like you, every distraction, everything that's not like Christ that would try to hinder or cause us to miss what is being said and what is being done. We bind it on earth that you bind it in heaven. In Jesus' name, we do pray, we do decree, and amen, amen, and amen. Well, tonight, we'll start off Matthew 7 and 13, which is a pretty much familiar scripture. And I'm going to say it like this. I believe God, in a lot of cases, in this day and time, he's taking us back to the basics of certain things, because the day is evil, and because not only is it evil, there's a lot of hard truths that's being unleashed to the people, and along with the hard truths comes deception. So let's start at Matthew 7:13, and this is Jesus talking. He says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in to reap. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Amen. Few that be that find it. He said, enter in at the straight gate. The straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go entreat. Listen, straight is the gate. Enter in is straight in the gate. Jesus referred to himself a lot of times in ways that men, or so men, could relate to what he was talking about. When he talked about, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life," when he talked about that, he says right here, enter in at the straight gate, okay? Meaning that as shepherds, they had a way of keeping their sheep, and there was only one way in. There was only one way out, and he was saying, enter in that straight gate, that narrow gate, that narrow way. Seeing so many different things being slung out there now in this day and time to make people feel like there's more than one way to get to God. Oh my God, this is something else. So many different times, and I know I sound repetitious, but it's because I keep seeing different things that people are playing with, trying to get ways or trying to get things from God, but they don't want to go in through the straight and narrow way. They don't want to go in to the straight and narrow way. They want to go the wide way. They want to go the broad way. They want to go any kind of way except through the straight and narrow. And God is saying, and actually it's really pretty much not only an instruction, but it's an eye-opener, and yet at the same time, it's a warning. He said, go in at the straight way. The straight way. For wide is the gate. Wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Let me say it like this also. When you choose the wide gate and you go in the way of the world, per se, that gate may seem so easy. That road may seem so easy to travel as opposed to the straight and the narrow. But the word tells us that there's many that's going to go in the way of the wide gate that's not going to make it into eternal life. And that's your key. That is your key. Because there's a lot of false doctrines out there. There's a lot of false religions out there. And a lot of them sound good. A lot of them are actually using the word of God. And a lot of them are quoting scriptures. And it sounds like God. But the thing about it is that they're not talking anything about eternal life. A lot of them are talking stuff about your race, and I'm going to get there a little bit. And a lot of them are talking about not only your race, but a lot of them are talking about your culture. A lot of them are talking about the foods you eat. All kind of nonsense, but none of them want to take you to the cross. None of them want to take you to the deliverance. None of them want to take you to the cross that does away, or the blood of the Lamb that washes away your sin. If it's not doing that, it really, you just spitting in the wind. Yes. I've heard them, man. 25 minutes, 35 minutes. And no, I take that back. I don't even want to lie, because I can't. A lot of it, I can't bear 25 minutes of it. I can't bear 15 minutes of it. So I hear maybe 5-10 minutes tops. And I hear them going around and around in a circle trying to convince, bringing anything concerning eternal life. Lord have mercy. Let's go to Proverbs 14:12 right quick. I don't even know how long I'm going to be on here. But we'll see. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'll read that again. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are ways of death. That's why it's so important for us to read the word and know the word for ourselves. Not only read the word, know the word, but you have to have a personal relationship with the Father through the Son. Because if you just start digging into this thing and you really don't have a relationship with God, you'll come up with all kind of, different, as they say, I want to say, interpretations of the Bible. And a lot of times, the Bible is so plain. A lot of times, it's just plain. It's so plain that it don't need any kind of interpretation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. And I'm going there. But you must be born again. Outside of that, Jesus Christ coming and dying and raising from the dead, it would have been in vain. But we know it wasn't in vain. Us who know the truth, us who know and hold the truth at value, we know that his coming and his dying and his resurrection was not in vain. It was done. All men shall be saved. All men shall be saved. John 3:6. John, St. John, 3rd chapter, 6th verse. He starts talking. That which is born of the flesh, which is born of the spirit, is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. When he talks about spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about himself. He's talking about God the Father. The word tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no one good thing in your flesh. So, yeah, we're going to go a little bit farther than that too. So, then he said unto this marvel, and listen to this. He's talking in this particular parable, or not parable, but in this particular book, in this particular few verses right here, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Because in the first verse it says that he was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a ruler of the Jews. Now, I've been hearing stuff, and I've been hearing people so caught up on what color the Jews were, whether they was white, whether they was black, whether they was this, that, and a third. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, okay, I'll go along with you. Just for the sake of argument, I'll go along with you. And say, yeah, there was Jews. Yeah, they are God's chosen people. Yeah, he came to save the Jews first, but yet, remember, it was the Jews who rejected him. Oh, my God. That's why the word says, in the beginning was the word, and the word took on flesh. It says the word came, the word took on flesh, and the word came amongst his own, and his own knew him not. They rejected him. His own, they rejected him. So then he went on to the Jews, to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. But he sent his only begotten son, that through the only begotten son, the whole world could be saved. So many of us, and I've seen it even more so now, are thinking that we're going to enter into eternal life just because we was born to or in a certain race. I was listening to someone the other night, not so long ago, and he talked about how he changed his last name. I won't call his name. That's an argument. I won't call his name. But he changed his name. And he was saying, by him changing his name, it was a part of him being perfected. And some lady was on the line, too. She said something like, well, God, it's not going to confuse me with all this. And she says, you know, because, and they said, well, no. The Bible says that, you know, be ye perfect, because I, your God, am perfect. That is scripture. It says that. And it was saying that we are supposed to strive for perfection. But here's my thing. In that same, the same guy that was talking about, he changed his name for perfection. He started talking to the lady, and he got kind of like riled up and said, you know, some things. And then he said, that's why y'all allow people to teach out any kind of, Paul called it dumb, but he used the S word, okay? And the first thing that came to my mind, and I started keying, I said, no, I'm not going to bother that, this whole bunch of myths. But the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, you're striving for perfection by changing your last name, but by you doing so, then give you enough power to tame your tongue. Changing your last name is not going to bring any perfection to God. Changing your clothes, changing your appearance, is not going to change or bring you any perfection to God. Remember, the word tells us that God don't look at the outside of the man. He looks on the inside of the man. He wants to know, is your heart pure? Have your heart been washed? By the blood of the Lamb. Have your heart been sanctified by the word of the Lord? That's what the scripture teaches us. The scripture tells us that by his word are we sanctified. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Sanctification comes through and by the word of the Lord. Anything less than that, you're not really striving for perfection. Without those two main ingredients, you're not really striving for perfection. You're really just spitting in the wind. You like a tinkling cymbal of brass making noise. James Brown used to say, talking loud and ain't saying nothing. Talking loud and ain't saying nothing. And it just got me to a place to where I don't want to see... Even though I don't want to see a whole lot of God's people, my people, be misled and go down the wrong road, which is wide and broad. And we're seeing it every day. We're hearing it every day. When we turn on our radios or whatever, in fact, I can't even remember the last time I turned on the radio listening to music. But time you turn it on, you're hearing stuff that's destructive to your soul. And it's targeted that way. It is meant to destruct, especially our young men. It's meant to destroy. Anything that's trying to glorify shooting, killing, murder. Yeah, I didn't even go ahead and say it. And things of that nature. It is out to destroy your very soul. Again, that's where the scripture kicks in. There is a way unto man that seems right, but at the end of that way is death. There are so many people that have been in and out of different relationships till you keep talking or you keep hearing about heartbreak after heartbreak, depression after depression, even to the place where people now are saying, I ain't going to get married. I ain't going to get married. I ain't going to get married. Not me. But you not go stop doing the things that married people do. So now you fell in the category of what? Fornication. And people are still running around here with God. This, you know, God forgives. God forgives. He does forgive. But God requires repentance. He requires repentance. I'm going to say that again. He requires repentance. Change from your wicked ways. But we, some kind of way, we stuck on 100 about grace. About grace. About grace. Jesus told him, he said, to Nicodemus, the Jew, if you want to say he black, he black. If you want to say Jesus is black, he black. If you want to say he white, he white. If you want to say he purple, he purple. If you want to say he green, both of them green. We can say that. Just for the sake of argument, we can say that. But the bottom line is, it's not about your color. It's about salvation. It's about the color of the blood. I believe Jesus was a man of color. I believe that. There's different scriptures that point to it, you know. As wool, bronze feet. There's different passages that point to that. Okay, that's fine. But here's my point, and I hope somebody else can catch on to that with me. If you've been born again, and you have a relationship with the Father through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and raised on the third day with all power in his hands, he took the sting out of death and the grave. He went there so you did not have to. And you had a relationship with God through the Son for I don't know how many years, let's say 5 years, let's say 10, let's say 20, let's say 30, let's say 40 years, and then let's say you check out and you go and stay in before a holy and just God, and you find out that that God is a different race, a nationality than what you thought he was. I guarantee you, you're not going to sit there and say, well, God, you know what? I thought you was black. I don't want to be here. Oh, God, I thought you was white. I don't want to be here. Because you don't have a heaven or hell. We need to get off of this thing about whether or not what color this person is. Because the color is not going to save your soul. I know it's interesting, and I know that it's important for some of us to know where we come from. But what good is it for me to tell you what your heritage is and let you die and go to a devil's hell? It don't do me a hill of beans to tell you you're from the tribe of Benjamin or you from the tribe of Israel and you from Timbuktu and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Die and bust hell wide open. I did you no service. I did you no service. If I can run down your family tree and tell you who begot who and who begot who and this one, that, and the third, all the way to Enoch and Methuselah, or Methuselah, or Noah, just because you related by flesh, it don't get you in to the kingdom of God. Because he, God, is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, marvel ye not at what I'm telling you. Marvel not, wonder not. Just believe, just understand that you must be born again. You must be born again. Let me go a little bit deeper with this, because Matthew tells us a little bit something else. Matthew 3:9. This is Jesus talking to the Jews again. Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees. He said, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. These people was what we would call religious, were what we call religious. Through the bloodline and by the bloodline, they belonged or were of the seed of Abraham. So because they were born unto Abraham, they felt like and they thought that because of that, they had a right to eternal life. And Jesus said, don't even say to yourself. See, he understood, you know, what they were thinking before it even came out their mouth. He said to yourself, he said, don't be sitting over there talking about we have Abraham. There was one time he even told them, bless God. There was one time he even told them, you say that you're of Abraham, yet you want to kill me. And he told him, you're not of my father, you're of your father. And your father is the devil, because if you was of my father, you would not want to kill me. They would have been able to hear the truth, take the truth, and accept the truth for what it is. But because they was in their own religion that seemed right, they didn't want to accept truth. They did not want to accept truth. See, when you go even to John, John 8. Even when you go to John 8, I believe that is 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. That blew their mind. Because see, he took them all the way back to what God first told Moses. They knew about the great Exodus. They knew about the plague. They knew about Moses. He said, before there was Abraham. This is Jesus talking to them. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And because of that, the 59th verse says, and they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Listen, he had run from the touch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He had to run from the house of God. He had to run from the temple because he gave them some truth that they did not want to hear. To them, they're thinking, how can you be but X number of years old in the flesh? That's the only way they could see that thing. They could only see that thing in the flesh. But Jesus told them, before Abraham was, I am. I am was the identification that God gave to Moses when Moses was talking to God at the burning bush. In other words, God was telling him, when you go to to Pharaoh, and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. I am means whatever you need, I am. Whatever you desire, I am. Whatever conflict you might need or to be fixed, I am. I am he. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I'm the will in the middle of the will. I am. And when he told them that truth, that canceled out their theory. That's why they didn't want to let it go. That's why they didn't want to hear what he was saying. It canceled out their theory that they must not rely upon just being a Jew in order to make an end. It canceled out their theory that they could no longer just hold on to, well, we was born to Abraham, and because we were born into Abraham, we're going to make it in. That blew all that away. When we look at John 5 and 39, this is something else that always grabs my attention. Also, because we have people that do study the word, but they don't have a concept. They don't know. There's a lot that has not been applied to their life in the way that it need to be applied. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about in a few. Jesus told the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Jews, and all of them, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They would read the word day in, day out, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that was one of the things that Joshua had wrote in there, meditating upon the word of the Lord day in and day out. Meditate upon the word. This is good. This is true. But look at the rest of that scripture. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And then he said, and they are they which testify of me. All these different scriptures that you've been studying all these years, all these decades, you've been studying it, and all those scriptures point to me. You think just because you read the scripture, just because you study the scripture, you think you have eternal life. But if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then your studying have been in vain. See, I have ran across guys that was, I thought, in ministry, who built their own churches and stuff like that. God help me. and could quote scripture left and right to tell you what book, what chapter, what verse, and tell you what it say word for word. But then if you sit down and talk to them after a period of time, they might come off the hip and tell you they don't believe in the Trinity, meaning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They'll tell you something like, you know, oh, well, the Holy Ghost can just land on anybody, this, that, and the third. They were trying to discredit the Holy Ghost, even though Jesus said that all manner of sin shall be forgiven unto men, but sinning against the Holy Ghost is an unforgiven sin, and it shall not be forgiven unto men in this world nor the world to come. So the Holy Ghost is something special, is something and someone not to be taken lightly or for granted, because he is your leader, he is your guide, he is your teacher, he brings all things back to your remembrance. He is what works with the word as you read the word, as you study the word. He is the one who gives you the different revelations to the word. He's what makes the word come alive. I get into that too a little bit. He is what works and brings the word of God alive. He is what operates through the earth. See, you have God that's on the throne, and then you have Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. It's the Holy Spirit administrating the different things that God has given. Actually, he's the one who's manifesting the things that God is administrating from the Father. Yeah, I got it right. Everything happens in the spirit realm first. And it's the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, that brings things from the supernatural into the natural. In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. Okay. Also, in the beginning, the earth was void and without form. When God spoke in the spirit realm, it was the spirit that manifested the earth. The spirit moved upon the waters and manifest the earth. That's why it's important for you to have the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One is not going to work without the one is not going to work without the other. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm trying to hurry and wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 3. And 6. Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Listen, when he talks about that, he's talking, let's see if I can find that again. There it is. He's talking about the letter, and he's talking about the letter being the law. Okay? I'm going to read that for you. In the NIV. It says, starting at the 8th verse, 1 Timothy 1, and, oh, I skipped something. Now, I won't stay here for a minute. It talks about the New Testament, talks about not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He's talking about he's talking about how the law, and this is what I keep hearing, and people jump up and down and say, well, he's taking us back to the commandments. He's taking us back to the commandments. The commandments. Taking us back to the commandments. No. Jesus didn't come to do away with the commandments, but he came not to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law. A lot of people want to take you back to the law to bring you under bondage, Again, though, I must tell you, your main objective is for you to have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. This is another reason why. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Notice, there is but one God. There is but one mediator between God and man. Notice, he did not say there is not but one law. The scripture did not say there is a law between man and God. It said there is one mediator. One who stands in the middle, one who stands in the gap, one who has given his life that through him you might have eternal life. He didn't say that the law came and gave you life. He didn't say that there was a mediator called the law between man and God. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator. There's only one man who could bring reconciliation between man and God because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Only one. That's why the Bible says what the first Adam could not do, Jesus came and did what the first Adam could not do, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Not just some, just not just a few, not by race, not by your wealth status, not by none of that. Not by none of that came to save that which was lost. He said, the physician, they already have a physician. He said, I came to save that which was lost. The lost one. Even if they are of Israel, they still might be lost. Even if they are a Jew, they still may be lost. If they do not know of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're still lost. And there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1 again. 1 Timothy. One and nine. Yeah. You go through one, 9-11. This might surprise some people. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. What? Read that again. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Yeah, the law, Ten Commandments, was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for homeowners and them that defy themselves with mankind, and men stealers are lot for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is all that was listed. That's what the law was written for. The reason why he said, knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. A righteous man is a man who is born of the Spirit. Righteous man is a man who's full of the Holy Spirit. And by him being full of the Holy Spirit, he is governed and he moves the Spirit of God. That's why the word says it is by him and through him that we move and have our being. And because we move through him and by him, we know by the Spirit of God what it is not to do and what it is to do. So therefore, the law is not written or was not written for those who are righteous. At one time, it was written for me because I didn't know what it was I was supposed to do or what I was not supposed to do. I bring it home even far. Even though it was written, there were some things still about the law that I knew I wasn't supposed to do, but because in this flesh, I was more flesh than I was spirit, I disobeyed what the law said. And we still, because we're still in these earthly vessels, there are still some things concerning to the law that we do that we ought not do. But I'm saying, and the more you grow, oh my God, the more you grow in the grace, the more you mature in the grace, the more you won't fulfill the flesh or fulfill the lust of the flesh. And with that, I think I'm just going to try to bring this thing here to a close. But if you've been under the sound of my voice for the last 50-some-odd minutes, 51 minutes, and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you have a membership in a church, but you don't have a relationship with the Father through your son, through the Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in some kind of organization, or maybe you've heard some things on the street corner. Maybe you've heard some various scriptures thrown out and spit out at you, but you don't know whether or not you have a tree of life. You don't know whether or not you have eternal life. You don't know whether or not if you died tonight that heaven would be your home. If you don't know that, I'm here to tell you with an assurance you can know that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that God gave his only begotten Son to die for the sins of this world, and if you confess that with your mouth and you believe that in your heart, you shall be saved. So if you'd like to be saved, just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a son. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for my sins and my iniquities. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. And your word said that if I confess this with my mouth, if I believe this in my heart, I shall be saved. Father, I'm accepting Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior into my heart right now. I renounce Satan, and he has no place and no part in my life from this day forth. Thank you for saving me, Father. Thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you said that prayer and you meant it, you believe it, you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you like prayer, you hadn't found a church home, you don't have a church home, pray, ask God, where would he have you to go? But you need to get in the church home. Believe what the Bible says. Full gospel. The whole nine. Find you a church. Be nurtured there. Grow there. But if you need prayer on your way, you can find me on Facebook, Brian Black. B-R-Y-A-N, the Y's for royalty. That's what I tell everybody. I saw that in a baby book name or something like that one time. Brian Blassingame. Or you can find me on Instagram, Brian Blassingame. You can find me on Snapchat, Brian Blassingame. If you like for us, pray with you, pray for you, we'd be glad to do so. But at this time, we're going to ask you, our awesome producer, Kimmy Kim, check us out if she will. But it's been a delight to bring the word of God forth to you tonight. We pray that it finds a resting place in your heart, to the place to where you won't be deceived, but that you'll know that you're free. And remember, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order, but most of all, do it for his glory. Until the next time, I'm Apostle Brian Blassingame with Dr. Kimmy Kim signing off from Elation Radio. Kimmy Kim, we love you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.
you do. Oh, what a blessing. It's only you. Oh, how you reign in my life today. I choose you, Jesus. It's only you.
It's you, it's you, it's you, Lord.
What more can I ask for? It's only you.
You gave me love.
Love, love, love.
So
love.
I can show it's you. There's none like Jesus. It's only you.